I am John Deutscher. I'm the Principal Program Manager for Azure Media Services.
And I'm Martin Wall. Same team.
Same team.
We've been working together on media for over 5 years now.
Yeah, you've probably seen Martin do a lot of presentations over the past few years on media services and VI. So I'm going to cover today Azure Media Services and what's new with our V3 APIs. And then Martin's going to go through Video Indexer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So let's start.
Let's get going. So let's click this forward. So if you're familiar with the media industry, you know we've all been going through this transition from a mass media broadcast world to a online distributed over-the-top delivery of media now. Media has become kind of the primary data type on the internet. As if you have teenagers, if you have young kids that are on mobile devices, you automatically know that this is kind of the fact. Everybody's spending most of their time watching video on their phones. My kids, they're now this generation where, to them, popular culture is a Vine. And for me, growing up, it was always TV shows, Brady Bunch, or something like that. That was my popular culture. But this generation is now used to everything happening online and video being mobile, being persistent on your devices at all times. So what we have in Azure Media Services is a set of capabilities that lets you build apps to reach that audience, as well as to scale out and provide a set of distributed services for delivering media around the world. Azure Media Services targets multiple use cases. So typical use cases would be around storage and archiving of major motion picture videos, as well as building out Netflix in the cloud, such as customers that we've worked with, like TalkTalk in UK, as well as building out live events for the Olympics, as well as the Super Bowl, which we've done many times in the past. Corporate video galleries, we are the back-end engine for Microsoft Stream. So if you're familiar with the Office 365 video platform, Microsoft Stream sits on top of Azure Media Services, and we provide the scalable encoding as well as the delivery platform for them. We also provide capabilities such as marketing and advertising, so the ability to do in-band signaling of advertisement and then scaling that out to do custom ad signaling as well as customized ad delivery out on the network. Media Services has three main sections that I'd like to talk to you about. Our core process section, which is all about encoding, as well as analysis of video. So we have two new processors that we're introducing here at the show about video analysis and audio analysis that I'm going to go over, as well as we support the scalability of encoding, such as you can spin up as many encoders as you need in one of our multiple data centers around the world. We're at 30 data centers and plus, I think, now. And you can do this all with the security and the compliance of the Azure platform. So we support these several compliance certifications, such as Motion Picture Association of America, ISO, SOC compliance, and we guarantee that your content is going to be secure throughout the entire encoding workflow. Distribution side, we have our own packager service, so we're able to do dynamic on-the-fly delivery of content in multiple formats. And what that allows you to do is deliver content to iPhones, Android devices, PCs, Xboxes. We handle all that complexity. You just upload your file, we encode it, we put it into multiple bitrate MP4 files, and then on the fly, we can translate that to whatever file format you need to get to those devices. In addition, we provide the player framework for you, and I'm going to show you that in a little while. We provide Azure Media Player, which is an HTML5 player framework, which lets you play back all of these different file formats on those devices. We can also scale your delivery out through the Azure CDN. So the Azure CDN supports the broad distribution and scalability that you need for getting out to millions of customers with either on-demand video or live streaming of video as well. On the protection side, in the content protection column, we provide the dynamic encryption capability to encrypt content either for standard AES encryption, if you're just trying to protect the content on delivery, or if you want full DRM support, we also support PlayReady, FairPlay, and Widevine, which are the three major DRM providers out there that are native to the platforms that you're trying to deliver to. Usually when you're delivering to a Windows device or an Xbox device, you're going to be delivering PlayReady, and there's multiple TV manufacturers out there that also support PlayReady. If you're going to an iOS device, you'll want to use FairPlay. And if you're going to go to an Android device or something in the Google ecosystem, you'll use Widevine. So our service handles the encryption of all of those formats for you automatically. And then we also handle the key delivery of that, so and scale that out as well. So as you reach more and more users, we'll handle the scale you need to deliver the keys to those customers. So to give you a quick Hello World demo, I think I'm going to hand it off to Martin to show you what it looks like within Azure Media Services.
Yeah.
And so you're going to show like an upload of a file, right?
Yeah, yeah. So this is like the most common scenario, John, that our customers and developers ask. So we figure, you know, while we're here, let's show you something really easy. So that we demystify media services, right? So we created this tool, and you can download this tool off of our we have a on our GitHub site. So you can download this. This is called the Azure Media Services Explorer tool, or I put the link right back up here so you can see it one more time. So it's akka.ms/AMSE. And this tool was created to allow you to experiment and try media services without first committing to a set of code and learning our APIs and using the SDKs. So we thought this was a great example to show to dive right in. What I'm going to do is I've got the Explorer tool. It's connected to my Azure account. I've got an Azure Blob Storage account and a media services account that it's pointing at. And this tool is taking the place of the Azure portal. So many of you have used the portal in the past. What's nice about this tool is it only focuses on the media services capabilities. And it lets me do something really quick. So for example, one of the most common tasks is I want to create a website that has a video embedded on the website, right? Everybody does this, something that I can watch on a mobile phone. So this is the audience participation part of the show. You all can take out your phones. We're going to do this right now. We're going to take a file that's on my laptop, move it to the Azure cloud, encode it, publish it to a common URL, and then give it to you guys to play back and stream on your device so that no matter what device you have, whatever you guys brought in the room, it will play with only one encode that I'm doing, right? Using the dynamic packaging feature that John just did. So get your phone ready. We're going to do this together. The first thing I'm going to do is upload that video file into my media store, my storage account. So I'll just select a file that's local to my Surface here. I'll take this Microsoft Cloud ad because it's pretty short and it moves really fast. So let's go ahead and just move that in. The first thing I'm going to do is, well, what storage account do I want to use? If you have multiple accounts, you can choose which one you want. Now, what is this tool doing? Well, it's calling the API for you, right? It's just calling the API on your behalf, so you didn't have to program it through Visual Studio. So the first thing I'm going to do is just call the transfer up to my storage account. Okay, that was fast. That's done. So now I have what's called an asset that sits up there. There's the MP4 file. It's called Microsoft Cloud Insects.mp4. But I can't do anything with this yet. This is just sitting as a video file in storage. It's not yet playable on your devices. But we want to make it playable on your devices, and we want it to be published on a website. So I can use the same tool to invoke our next part of the process that John spoke of, which is the encoding process. So to encode it, we have, as John said, two different encoders that you can choose from, one more standard over-the-top web formats, and one if you're a premium, maybe movie studio, you're using a lot of high quality, maybe multiple audio tracks, you can use our premium encoder. But I'll just use the standard encoder for now, and it's going to come up and give me a whole lot of choices. Now, obviously, you know, most people just want it to play on everything. But you can select the preset, you can select the quality, you can control all these different aspects of the video encoding process, but I'm going to let it default to just adaptive multi-bitrate MP4 so that it can play on everything that you guys brought into the room and just go ahead and launch this encoding job. Now again, all I'm doing is using the tool to invoke the APIs that are part of the Media Services API and SDK.
And that's just going to adapt to the file that you uploaded and give you a bunch of different bit rates so that it streams smoothly across the network?
That's right. Yep. And this is important because, you know, as we all know, we all connect to the internet in different places in different ways. Some people are on high bit rate networks. I've got a fast one at home.
Yep.
I can't say the office is all that fast. Certainly this conference hall has not been all that fast for networking connection, and you guys all know this. So what I'm doing is I'm asking it to create a multi-bitrate file so that it'll adapt based on...
And then when you put that in the player then makes that decision for
exactly,
you.
Exactly, exactly. So I'm kind of like, this is the cooking show part of the show where I'm just waiting for it to pick itself up off the cloud, And part of what I'm running this on is my own media services account, okay. Which is part of the scalability of media services.
It looks like it finished.
It finished. Yeah. So that was pretty fast, and that's really good. So now let's look back at the asset. So now I have an encoded version of my MP4 that you can see it's a multi-bit rate MP4. So the very last step now is to publish that and then for you all to play it. So get out your phones. What we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and publish this by creating a URL. So this is a well-known URL that I'm going to set. I can set the date. I can decide, you know, when I want it to expire, either 10 years from now or maybe just till, you know, tomorrow or Sunday or in the year 2028 or 100 years from now.
I like the 100 years button.
Yeah,
that's great.
100 years. We'll all be here, I'm sure. Create a locator that allows me to make this content public. So that's running, and then now that's done. And the last part is to play it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in here. And in the tool, we've already embedded the player that John was speaking about. It's called the Azure Media Player. And what I'm going to do is first, I'm going to take it and play it back to make sure it looks right to me. It's going to ask me where I want to stream it from. And I have a streaming endpoint account in my media services
and
account.
And these are all the different protocols I was referring
That's
to.
That's right.
So
and
you can dynamically see, change between these protocols for you.
And I'm going to let it do automatic.
Yep.
That's what I want. And go ahead and set OK. And what it's going to do is it's going to embed that video on a player, on a web page, on a demo site, and I have it. Now, while this is all impressive, because here is my video playing from the cloud, it's not as impressive if I take this URL that I just created and go stick it over here so that you all can do it. So get out your phones. I'm going to take my URL that I have here and replace the URL with the new one that I just created, apply it. And now, as soon as that saves, here we go. Here is the URL that I have pre-created for you guys. So go to this website, and what you will see is the video that I have created now streaming to your device. So this is the final step, which is the playback. So you see I've done an up.
And it works.
And it's working. And I hear it. Different points, right? So the idea here is that we've tried to make managing video, encoding
Easy.
Video, streaming video, and as you can see from this website example, embedding video into this, both a desktop. I'm running a Surface with Edge. I don't know what you had, Ben, but looks like an iPhone.
An iPhone?
Yeah. Or Android, or if anyone got an Xbox in the room. Or
Windows Phone.
A Windows
wow.
Phone. Oh, my God.
Classic.
You got a hand.
Classic.
Fantastic. There we go. There we go. So there we go. You've seen the step of how easy it is just to get to the first part, which is bringing video to your
device. You could also progressively download that video as well if you needed to take it offline, and you could sideload it onto your Zoom.
Yeah, because I want to watch this video on the airplane when I'm going home, right?
Exactly.
All righty, John, back to you.
All right, back to me. So next slide. I can see it down there. All right, so what we're announcing. So for Azure Media Services, we have some major announcements at Build this year. We've been working really hard. The team's been really just pushing hard to get this out the door in time for Build. We have a new simplified programming model. And what we've done is we've merged our existing API back into Azure Resource Management so that we now have full support from ARM for doing things such as ARM templates, role-based access control on all of the objects that we have within our API. We are actually now able to auto-generate several different SDKs that you guys can use that are a lot simpler than in the past. Previous SDK was tied fairly tightly to the storage SDK. We've separated that out so that you can now version the storage SDK separate from our actual Azure Media Services Management API as well. We've made it a lot easier to build workflows, and I'm going to show you some of that in a second. We've added, as I said previously at the start of the event, that we've added these two media analysis capabilities, which is video analyzer and audio analyzer. These are now built-in presets for Azure Media Services, and they give you a lot of the same, exact same features that you had within Video Indexer. And we'll talk a little bit about what the differences are between the Azure Media Services analyzers and the Video Indexer side. We also have the new Azure CLI support, which I'm going to demo next. And then on the Video Indexer side, we have a button now within videoindexer.ai, I think, right? Is that the right, Nick?
Okay. Video.
Yeah, videoindexer.ai, video.ai. And at the Video Indexer site, you can now log in and press the connect button, and it'll connect your Video Indexer site directly to your Azure subscription. So you can now scale infinitely within your Azure subscription using Video Indexer. You can also process in three new regions. We've expanded out our global footprint for Video Indexer. And we've also announced the introductory preview pricing, which Martin's going to go over shortly. There is also a new REST API on the Video Indexer side. We've versioned the API there, and we've added a lot of new capabilities on the Video Indexer side. And next, I'm going to go through some of the new API features on the video, on the media services side. So what I'm going to actually do is I'm going to start demoing some of these. This is a lot easier to take a look at this. So I'm going to punch over to 8. Thank you. So what is new in Azure Media Services? We do have a bunch of new documentation up on our docs.microsoft.com. So if you're not following along on all these topics, you can read these offline later. We also have a bunch of quick start samples as well. So new quick start for streaming videos and a tutorial for uploading and analyzing your video within Azure Media Services V3. There's a new button down here that I didn't notice before also. This downloads a full PDF, so if you want to take the documentation offline with you on the airplane, click that download PDF file and you'll get all of the new V3 docs down there for you. We're still working on a lot of these, so more docs will come over the next few months. We're in preview. We hope to get to GA quite quickly, so we'll be filling in a lot of the details here, waiting for feedback from all of you. So definitely send feedback on the new APIs to our MSDN forum or directly to me. Definitely would love it if you guys contacted me and sent me your feedback. For build, I created a repo, and this one, the URL is github.com/johndeu/build2018. So this is in my repository. And up here, I've put samples around all of the V3 APIs. So I'll walk through here what's up here. We put in a set of ARM templates. So now you can take a look how easy it is to use an ARM template to deploy a media services account, create assets within media services, do simple encoding and pass-through channels for live, as well as create a simple transform. And we'll keep adding to these so that there's more and more samples up here that you guys can deploy. In the CLI folder, I have two folders. I have a bash shell folder. So if you want to run bash shell scripts, and in here I'll have a set of bash shell scripts for creating accounts, creating assets, how to register with event grids, jobs, transforms, and assets. And then on this side, I do have a set of VS Code extensions. So there is an extension for Visual Studio Code that lets you execute CLI commands. And if you just download that and you open these, it's a lot easier to run these CLI commands directly in VS Code and get results back. And then the one that everybody's been asking me for is .NET Core. So we finally have a .NET Core library for media services. This has been a big ask from many customers. And I've put up here several samples of using analyzing of a local file, encoding a custom transform, shows you how to set up your own custom encoding settings, encoding just a standard preset, as well as encoding and delivering a published AES encrypted video to the Azure Media Player. And finally, an example of doing live within .NET Core. So any of these will run on Linux, Mac, PC. Just basically download them and hit F5. And then finally, a Postman collection for you guys. So this will let you see what's going on in the API. And if I go over to Postman really quick, give you a quick tour of what that looks like. So the API itself is a set of Swagger files that we've published at the Azure REST API specs. GitHub. And up here, you'll see that there's a preview folder for all of our swaggers. This is what we've built the API off of, so you can easily go out here and download these, pull these into a tool that you need to generate your own clients from, or just use these as a reference point. And when you pull these over to Swagger, you pull them into Postman, pull these swaggers in, you'll see that I have all of these broken out by their actual use case scenarios. So I have, and I'm gonna zoom in a little bit on that, so you guys can see better. There we go. An encoding and analysis section. Assets, content key policies, account operations, streaming policies, and streaming and live. And it's real easy to get started in here. Essentially, what you need to do first is get an AAD auth token. So when you're working with Azure Media Services, we've moved now to use AAD, Service Principles for Authentication. If you're still using ACS, please move over to AAD. because we're going to be deprecating ACS shortly, and that's been announced quite a while ago. So if you haven't moved to AAD yet, please contact me after the event, and I'll talk to you. For getting an AAD key here, all I need to send in is my tenant ID, and then the client ID and client secret for my Azure application. And as soon as I send that in, I'll get back a token. And then that token lets me do anything within the API here in Postman. So I'll let you download this and play with this offline. I won't go too much further into that right now. And then once you've got the CLI installed, let me go over here. So in the Azure CLI module, if you download the latest CLI or if you log into shell.azure.com, which is the Azure shell. If anybody hasn't seen this site, this is really cool. Anybody else use this already? This is pretty awesome. So if you log into shell.azure.com, I get a shell. Wait till it connects. Oh, it's busy.
It's tired.
Let's let it go. Oh, there it is. Okay. Then I'm going to type in, it's not responding yet. So we'll wait till that comes back. But I can do the same thing over here. Essentially, when you're in Visual Studio Code, you can see that we now have these AMS modules for Azure Media Service. I zoom in on that. So you can see here, it's very simple to create an account, create a service principal. I can reset my credentials. And what happens here, and if I show you this, this is actually really handy. If you actually create a service principal and an account, and then I zoom back out so you can see what comes back. It gives you all the information you need. I'll reset these keys later. But essentially, it gives me all the information that I need to copy and paste into my app config. So I can literally just copy and paste this XML into a Visual Studio project or into one of my sample projects. So if I downloaded one of those projects I showed you and I can go into my app config, I can just copy and paste that directly in here, hit F5, and I'm off and running. So we make it real simple for you to get started with your AAD credentials. And then over here, we have some new concepts in media services. We created a concept of a transform. Transform is very similar to what we had in the past for job templates. So when you did an encoding job in the past or you set up a custom encoding job, you could have saved that as a job template. But now we've made this kind of first class so that you can have this within ARM and you can deploy them as templates. And you can also put RBAC control on these as well. So if you've come up with your own custom transform with special encoding sections, analysis, thumbnailing, you may have multiple steps within a job that output multiple things to storage, you can define that as a template and then you can easily deploy that. And we support having multiple processes write content into a single container, into a single asset, or into multiple containers and multiple assets if you want. Another cool thing about transforms is that you submit jobs now to a transform directly instead of in the past we had a single queue of jobs so that you can control access to these and allow your users to submit content directly to a specific transform. And I'll show you what that looks like here. So if I've got this particular encoding transform, I can create this really fast. And then I'm going to create a video analyzer, an audio analyzer transform. And you'll see at the bottom, they're coming back quite quickly. So now I can go over to a job creation. And in here, I'm just going to start an audio analyzer job. And what this is going to do, it's going to take this file from a URL, so ignite-short.mp4. You'll notice that this is a SAS URL, which is another new feature. So now in jobs, we can ingest from any URL. So typically it'll be a tokenized URL, it'll be a SAS URL, or it could be a S3, could be a Google URL as well, as long as it's a tokenized URL. And I'm just going to kick off that job. You'll see there on the command line that I've started a job named My First Audio Analyzer Job. Oops, but I didn't delete that asset. Hold on a second. first. You need to create that. You need to create an output asset first. And now I'm going to submit that job with that output asset. So what it's going to do is going to ingest that file, and it's going to run the audio analyzer process on that, and then it's going to output the JSON results into that output asset container. And we'll come back to that. Now, I'm going to show you what happens in EventGrid. So while that is running, I have already registered for EventGrid notifications. This is another new feature for Azure Media Services V3, where we can now register for job state changes, job completions, as well as any events on a live channel or a live event. And we can use those to kick off workflows. So we use Azure Functions, or we can use Logic Apps, or anything that is able to register for an event through EventGrid to listen to these events that are coming through. Let's see if this actually loads. Hello, Functions apps. I'm going to go back, refresh the portal. Okay, let's go over to Logic Apps, see if Logic Apps loads faster. See who wins. Yay, Logic Apps. I'm running out of credit. Okay, here we see the new Event Grid listener in Logic Apps. So you pick the subscription that you're on. You can now register for media services events directly within Logic Apps. You pick the resource. In this case, Build 18 is my account name. And then you can choose a particular Event Grid event. And in this case, I'm listening for job state changes. I could also listen for things like live event encoder, connected, disconnected, things such as the data chunks are being dropped, issues on that live stream. So we're going to keep adding more and more of these events so that you can have more workflow capabilities on top of media services as we expand this. So this particular Logic app is listening for that job state change, and then it's looking for the data state to be finished, and then it's just sending me an email at the end. And here I'll look at the overview of this, and you'll see the last time it ran, just because I ran it a few seconds ago, you should see 456. I'm going to open this up. And in here it was false, but actually I'm going to show you the message that came through. So it shows me that it scheduled that particular job. So that's when I just kicked off in the CLI that particular job. And when that finishes, I'm going to get a final result there, and then I can pull down the JSON file within that Logic app, analyze that, see what's in there that's useful for me, and then kick that off to another process as well. And then go back over to Functions. So Functions works the same way. See if that loads. Yep. Give it a second. If not, I'm going to move on. Okay, so in Functions, you have your choice. You can write a generic webhook, and I have a sample of this in my build repository as well. So this is how you take an event and process this within Azure Functions, or you can go back over and use just an Event Grid trigger directly. And it's a little simpler, a little bit less code that you have to write. And then in here, you can monitor for those events as well. And you'll see these events coming through from that job I kicked off. So here's another, oops, this is a refresh. That was 5 hours ago. Oh, that one's not listening. Go back to this guy here. A few seconds ago. So in here, you can see the log. This process, it's finished. And then at the very end, I can see that I have a JSON file, insights.json, that was output. And if I take the results of this, I'm going to pull this up in Postman. Just go get that file out of storage. And there you see the analysis that was done on my video file with the text, speech to text. I'll collapse this down so you can see the transcript. We have the keywords that were in that file, we have the sentiment, and we have the speaker detection as well. So You have all of this information from that video file, which you can then analyze and use in other processes in your workflow. So now I'm going to hand it back over to Martin to go a little bit deeper on this video analysis and these video indexer capabilities and show you some more use cases around video AI.
Awesome. Cool. That was great, John.
Awesome.
What great work on the APIs and all the additions. So if you were wondering that last bit, what was John doing with that analysis part? Well, what he was using is a new area that we've really been really building in our portfolio for the last 12 months, and that's what we're referring to now as video artificial intelligence, or video AI. And the thing about video AI is it really aligns with all of the other things that Microsoft has really going to be focusing on in the future with our AI and cognitive capabilities, right? And so whether you're talking about doing image recognition on photos or on text files or on PDF, if you have video content, well, that's where the services team has really been trying to build those capabilities into these, into this part of the portfolio. So this is where we hope you'll find the section really exciting, because what if you do a lot of tasks using these new video AI capabilities that maybe your customers or you have been doing yourselves manually for forever, right? And some of these are the most commonly done manual tasks. They are the transcription of video content, right? I mean, somebody is typing what I'm saying as I'm saying it to you, and it's appearing on the screen, but wouldn't it be great if that was being done automatically, right? Or what about if you operate any user-generated content websites? Right now, maybe you have somebody who flags for adult content or profanity or something in that content that you have to scan for. Again, that would be a great service to allow the cloud to do for you automatically. For years, we've all complained about the lack of true video search across the internet. You know, how do I find a video that contains this word, this person, this object sitting at this place, right? That's a capability that we've all wanted to have on the internet, but really isn't available unless somebody goes and manually types all of that metadata in through a tagging process. Well, it would be great if that could be done automatically. And so a lot of these imagine if you could scenarios are precisely what we have heard from you, our developer community, as well as the greater media content community around the world. Whether you are doing news content, whether you have corporate content, or whether you're an education center like a university or a high school or an elementary school, or whatever your field is, as John correctly said, we are all using an increasing amount of video, but we are not really analyzing the video very deeply. We're able to now play it on all these devices, but let's go even deeper. So that's what video AI is really intended to do. So what we are talking to you today about is there are two ways now that you can access this capability in media services. The first is what John just described to you, what we'll refer to as Azure Media Analytics, the ability for you to call upon video or audio-based analysis of video content that you're uploading into Azure. And you can summon these capabilities, and they will return for you these values as part of a JSON return file. So faces, visual objects, the audio transcript, the keywords, the sentiment that we see or notice in the audio track, right? And all of those are available to you on an individual basis, and you can call them from our audio analytic capabilities, just like John showed you. But we, a year ago at this very conference, we introduced you to a brand new concept, which is the second way. And that's what we refer to as the video indexer. The video indexer is a bundled approach, so it's a slightly different way to approach the analysis of your video content by uploading your content into Azure and then performing all of these tasks in combination, in parallel, and with context awareness. So if I see a face, well, who is the face? Use celebrity recognition. And if the face is speaking, what are they saying and where are they? Speaker diarization, and on and on. And so, in fact, when we introduced you to the video indexer a year ago, we said to you, we intend to bundle these cognitive AI features together. Well, that's exactly what we've done. And today, there are all of these features are available to you to be using. And I'd love, you know, has anybody used the video indexer in this room over the last 12 months? It's been available? Great. A lot of you have. Well, there have been a tremendous usage of this. We have literally indexed millions and millions of minutes, sort of like McDonald's hamburgers. Now, what's so fascinating about this is that what our customers are doing with all this metadata is very, very different. Some of you are using it for subtitling, some are using it for translation services, some are using it for shot and object detection, some are using it for all kinds of reasons. And so what I want to make sure that I show you today is, if you haven't had an opportunity to play with the video indexer, well, let's make sure that you. So we created for you a year ago this portal. This portal is a visualization tool so you can see what the metadata that we create looks like. Now, I should say that if I just showed you the metadata, it would look like this. And I'm sure everyone would clap and applaud at how beautiful our metadata is and how powerful it is. Now, this is lovely to look at, but if you don't speak JSON, or you don't have an editor like this to break down exactly what's in the metadata, well, we created this visual gallery tool for you. So for those of you in the room who didn't raise your hand, like, I've never heard of the video indexer, Martin, let me give you a very brief demo as to what the video indexer is capable of. So I have uploaded into this gallery lots of different videos. I just uploaded the keynotes from Scott and from Sasha that they gave this week. I have news programming that we're working with customers around the world, sports programming. You can use any video or audio content that you like. Sometimes this demo works really well with local news. If you watch a lot of local news, you know there's always a lot of exciting stuff that happens in local news. So let's use this example from a station right here in Seattle, which is Como News. And I'm going to go ahead and launch this. We're going to bring the audio up just a tad so you can hear that there is audio in the demo. Play that. Okay. So the first thing you'll see in this visualization tool is the source video that I used is on the left, and it's using the embedded Azure Media Player. On the right side of the screen, let's bring the audio up just a bit. And I'm going to turn on the captioning.
At least six people have died, 10 others taken to the hospital.
And we've also learned Florida International University,
maybe a little lower on the audio.
Charge of the project, did not hire a pre-qualified company to do what's
called a secondary. So the captioning that you're seeing was generated not by a human, but rather by our speech-to-text engine, right? And that is a pretty accurate transcription of the words that are being spoken by these folks on the news broadcast. I can even show you the full transcript by just flipping over to this tab here. And you can see it's not only showing me the words that are spoken, but it's also doing an identification that there are different speakers. So as the speaker changes, it's recognizing that there's a speaker one, there's a speaker six, there's a speaker seven, and that kind of thing that's happening within the video. Now, many of our customers use this tool just to do captioning, just to do the transcript, right? Because they have a video. They don't have closed captioning that's available to them, and they're using this tool to generate the transcript file, download it off of the video indexer tool, and apply it into the video. This event that we're doing here at Build does this quite a lot. They have a lot of content. They use this tool. They auto-transcript it. They republish it, and now it's available with closed captioning that can be used. And looks like my network connection just died, so I'm going to relaunch the video indexer. And we'll continue down on the demo. So transcription is a very common thing that's asked for. What else does the video indexer tool give you the ability to do? Well, if you noticed in the transcript, because I have all of the speech to text created, I can also invoke the Microsoft Translation Services. It's already built in.
Starts right now.
Let's just turn that audio down a little bit more, so that it doesn't interrupt me. So we are already connected to the Microsoft Translator service. So for example, what if I just want to change the entire what's happening to my network connection? There we go. To Spanish. Any Spanish speakers in the audience? Let's take the entire metadata set that we've created and translate it into Spanish. Now it's available to me in Spanish. And let's bring up the transcript again, and you'll see that it's already translated for me into Spanish. Now, of course, the Microsoft Translator Service supports well over 50-some-odd languages, so I could have done this to any language. This is a second use case that's very common, using these capabilities to translate into other languages for publishing of my videos that I don't have to hire translators to do. So that's probably another very common use case. What else does the video indexer provide for you? Well, you can see here, face recognition and identification. There are 98 different faces in this video. Here they all are with thumbnails. And you can see down here below, the black line indicates video, that face appears. So Molly Shen, she appears for 14.95% of the video. And all the places where Molly's face appears to the screen is here, with links to be able to jump from point to point to point everywhere Molly's face occurs on camera, with the relationship between them. Now, how am I able to do that? Well, of course, just like I showed you, the faces are all in here in the JSON. Here are the faces. Here are the instances of the faces. Here's Molly's face. And these are the 27 appearances that she is in. So you see, the tool is giving you a visualization of JSON. The JSON is the power, right? JSON is the value of this tool. Let's go back to my demo.
Stormy Daniels' lawyer says,
and my network keeps dropping in and out on me. I gotta love that.
In an attempt to keep her silent.
Now, other things that John mentioned are things like keywords, words that occur. Maybe we'll bring it back to English so that we can all see it together. Let's bring it back to English so we can see it. Other things that are in here are keywords. So the story that they're doing on the bridge collapse, the story that they have on a double murder, gotta love local news, story about binge drinking, and links to get to those stories. Labels, very common. This is object detection, right? So. Where is there an aircraft in my video? Where does the color yellow appear? Where is there a mountain? These are all ways to make your video searchable, right? So to the extent that you find all of this stuff to be valuable, that's where we're providing it. And I'm going to go back to my little chart here, my slides. We continue to add more and more metadata all the time. These are things that are coming on our roadmap in the months to come. The ability to detect emotions, the ability to detect logos, and even the ability to take a live video stream in and analyze it on the fly. A very popular request, but you can imagine how amazing that would be to be able to do this so that, for example, as you are watching something, you could see it in real time in another language, the captions coming at you in real time. And I can share with you that we already have customers testing this already. So it's that close to being available, the ability to do this. We have customers already working with us to make this possible. So yeah, isn't that cool? I like applause. So as you can see from this demonstration, while I have been doing a lot of clicking, all these clicking things that I have been doing in this demo, obviously, you are going to access via our APIs. And John mentioned a brand new set of APIs that are now available for Video Indexer and that you can use. So they're the manual part of me just clicking around or you clicking around, while it's lovely in a demo, that's not how we expect you to work with the system, right? So what are we announcing about Video Indexer at the show for those of you who have said, hey, I've been using this for a year, so what's new? Well, what's new is, as John said earlier, this is now a paid service. We have gotten to the point where it's not just a free demo. It's not just something that we're experimenting with. This is a real service, and we are super excited to bring the Video Indexer into the Azure fold and make it a formal, compliant Azure service. So that's awesome. Yay for that. So how do you take advantage of using that? If you have been using Video Indexer for the past year, you know that you have been quota limited. We've only allowed you to either use maybe a couple dozen hours to maybe up to 400 hours. We have removed the quota. So the way you do this is when you're in Video Indexer, you just connect your Video Indexer account to your Azure subscription. And by doing that, you are now able to index to your heart's content. You will use your own Azure Storage account. You will use your own Azure Media Services account. And all the videos that you upload and index will be left there, and you'll be running it there. And there are now new billing meters that go with it. So we are announcing at the Build Conference two new billing meters to do this service. $4 an hour for video and audio processing, and that's all of the processing, all 20 of those different boxes that we showed you. This is why we refer to this as a bundled AI service. So it does everything all at once for one fixed price per hour, or you can just do the audio portion if you're just indexing audio content only. As John said, we have previously only had this available in one data region in the world. We've just expanded it by yet three more just for this week, and we expect to expand it by even more so that it will be present in all data centers possible as soon as we can roll that out. So right now it's available in the US, it's available in Europe, it's available in Asia, with all the other data centers we intend to roll it out to. So now I kind of want to give you a clue as to once you have your Video Indexer account, it's linked to your Azure, you can begin to use it, what can you do as a developer to take advantage of it? The first thing is understand the workflow, right? So just like I showed you when I was running the demo using the UI, the way it works is you upload a video into your storage account via Azure, right? Or as John said, you can use the new REST APIs to get things from AWS S3 storage, or Google, or Dropbox, or wherever you keep your content. You can point those URLs into the Video Indexer and ingest that content in. We will then create for you and extract the metadata, and we now create a JSON. But we don't stop there, because part of the power of AI is the ability for you to customize and curate. So we are now taking advantage of custom language, custom face, and soon custom object model recognition, so you can help make the data that we extract from your videos much more accurate, much more tailored to your particular content, right? And that's very important. Many of you have content where you use a lot of street words or slang or three-letter acronyms. Many of you use localized celebrities that aren't well known, perhaps globally. Many of you have different names or different landmarks for places. Maybe you want to customize things, so we are going to, this is going to continue to follow the path that all the rest of Microsoft's cognitive and AI capabilities are by giving you the ability to curate and customize. Now you have a choice. You can take the content, the data, metadata you've created and download that off cloud. You can integrate that into a third-party tool. Or you can leave all of it up in your Azure account, link it to Azure Search, and do what I just showed you with this demo, which is the ability to search, right? So what does that look like? Well, if I have a lot of videos, as I do in this instance, and I want to be able to search for things, like I want to search for anywhere where the word cloud appears across my video, I can do a word search. Or maybe I want to do an object search, like where is there a reference to coffee, either the object coffee or the word coffee or the name coffee, and I can get these links. I can do complex searches, right? Like maybe I want to find coffee, but ones that are held by the actor Rami Malek, who many of you may recognize as one of the actors in the series Mr. Robot, right? So in this case, this is identified for me not just the fact that there's coffee, but in fact that there's being coffee being held in a video frame by the actor Rami Malek present. So complex, cool video searches become possible when you combine Azure Search and metadata extracted from this kind of tool. Back to my slides. The building blocks within Video Indexer should be pretty obvious to you by now. They are the portal that I've shown you, a platform set of services for indexing, search, editing and encoding, and streaming, and those widgets. So those widgets that are on the screen are embeddable widgets themselves. If you like them, the player widget and the insights widget, you can just embed them as is into your website. But we anticipate that the most common use case will actually be the use of our APIs. And via those APIs, that's how you'll interact with the system and extract the JSON. So it's at this point that we expect that you are going to be using the system in that way. You call the APIs and then extract the JSON that you need and pull out whatever you want. And whether you're looking for faces or you're looking for words or you're looking for objects or whatever you're using. And since the most common way that we work with all of you is through the development of our APIs, you know, we expect that our partners are the ones who are going to become most versatile with these APIs and the ones who are going to embed these capabilities into their products. So I am super, super excited to introduce Ben Cuss from Box, who is one of our earliest and most aggressive partners, who have taken the APIs that we've done with Video Indexer and with our Video AI suite and said, you know, this is capabilities that we want to expose to our customers by merging your capabilities into our platform. So I'd like to introduce Ben to talk to us about how Box has done precisely that. Ben?
Thank you. So I'm Ben Kuss, VP of Product at Box. And if you don't know what Box is, we do what we call cloud content management. So think big companies, enterprises. I think on the slide it was listed as corporate content. We do all of that. We let people upload all of their different files. We let them view it. We let people share their information. We let them be part of business process workflows and so on. And we work with a lot of different companies of all sizes across all industries. One of the interesting things is if you look at kind of what these kinds of companies are doing these days in terms of what are they putting in Box, an awful lot of it is unstructured content or media files, audio, video, and images. In fact, video is our number one file type by size, and it's been growing quite rapidly. One of the challenges that these companies start to have is that you get a lot of video. People are uploading for themselves or for the different business processes that they're doing, and they're unable to actually, they're able to view it, they're able to see, to go look at it, then they can tag it so they can find it later, but they have a really hard time when you get enough of it to find it and to organize it in general. And so we've never had a solution for them. We always just kind of, we treated video as just like a big blob of data. But then we saw some of the capabilities that from Video Indexer and from our friends at Microsoft. And so what we did is we built a new feature around it. We built something we call Box Skills. So you can think of Box Skills as the ability to enhance your content using techniques like the ones that we just saw from Microsoft. And so we have taken these ML APIs and we put them in, automatically applied them to files in Box, and we call these skills like image intelligence, audio, and video intelligence. And I will show you a demo of these so you can see kind of how it works. So let me pull this. So similar to what you just saw, almost all of the features that you guys were just looking at are interesting for our customers. So in this particular case, this is a video from Mad Money, and it got sent around our company. And you can imagine that every company has this kind of thing, where they have like a video where like, hey, check this out. This is our CEO. He was on Mad Money talking about Box. And this happens all the time. We deal with tens of millions of hours of video per month. These files get sent around, and people say, "Okay, cool, but it's a 7-minute video. I'm kind of busy. Like, I want to see what this video is all about." And so, by taking these features that we just saw, we can do a few things. We can see who's in the video, and I can see that our CEO Aaron's in here. And actually, he was a celebrity, so that's nice. I can jump to the part of the video he's in, and then I can also extract the topic. So me as a corporate user, if I'm looking at like an internal training video or some other video that people are sending around, we can look and say, I want to see the part where they talk about Salesforce, and then I can click, and then it shows me the pieces just like you saw in the Video Indexer. Oops, it's been open for too long. You could then jump to that as you guys saw in the video there. So, similarly, all of the data, all the information around the transcript is in here. I can go click to that. I can read it. I can do it. And so one of the nice things for us is that for the very first time in cloud content management, or the very first time for Box, is the idea of searching your videos and being able to not only find what you need for the all of your throughout all your video libraries, but also find what you need within the video when you're viewing it. And we see this not just for video, but for audio. A lot of our customers have a lot of audio files as well. So things like earning calls, meetings, and so on. You can apply these same techniques so that we can go in and see, like, what is this earnings call about? It's a 45-minute earnings call. I don't really want to listen to it. I just want to jump to the part where we talk about artificial intelligence. And I jump across. Or I can read the transcript. These things are, from our view, are changing the way that our corporate customers are dealing with their files. And just by uploading them to Box, they get these kind of functions because we integrate with Microsoft. We have a lot of customers who are universities or schools, and they are constantly now recording each of the different sessions that they have, lectures. And one thing they want to do is they want to send it out to all of their students, but they have to wait for the subtitling because they have to make sure that it's available for people who can't hear well. And that usually takes them a little while as they go through it. So by adding it to Box, we're able to let them just simply upload the data to Box, which they've been doing for a while, and then send it out immediately with both with all the features that you saw here, including the topics and the transcript and so on. We have a customer who's city council's, and they wanted to take who's a city council in California, and they wanted to take all of their city council weekly meetings and publish them online, but then make it easier for people to go view, which they do through these similar types of features here. And so these are some examples. And what we're finding with our corporate customers is that they're, for all of the many different reasons that they use these types of videos and audio files just through their day-to-day work, by applying this type of machine learning from Microsoft, they're able to just do everything better, faster, and become more productive with the way that they work. And so I'll tell you a little bit about how it works and how we integrated with it. It was actually pretty straightforward. So the data, from our point of view, is stored in a Box. What we did was whenever somebody uploaded a file to Box, behind the scenes, what we did is we created basically a webhook that would send data immediately to, or would send a job immediately to Azure Functions. Serverless architectures work really well for us in this case because in some cases we're dealing with a peak load of maybe thousands of files a second. And so we wanted something that scaled very well. And then the video, or the Azure function, which we call the video intelligence skill, then goes and gets the file. It could be various, fairly big in some cases. And then sends it to Azure Media Analytics API, or the video indexer service. And then it then turns around and writes that metadata that you saw, which then shows up in Box. So from our user's point of view, from a corporate customer's point of view, they just upload a file, and then it gets that all of those great features that you saw. And becomes immediately searchable and has all of the benefits. So we've been very happy to be a part of the trial, and we are going to be launching this in GA in just a few months. And we're all of those new features that you saw from the Microsoft Video Indexer. We're also going to be incorporating those into Box so that customers can not only just have this work very well. Just for their standard content, but also customize it so that their corporate employees and users can see things customized to their needs internally. And with that, I will pass back to...
Awesome. Thanks, Ben. So what Ben just alluded to was sort of what we'll sort of end with today, which is how can you take advantage of the same kind of capabilities to integrate all of these things together? In other words, tie it all up and use Azure Logic Apps, Azure Functions, Media Services, the new Event Grid that we have available to you, the new E3 APIs, and the Video Indexer, all that together. And who's doing that and how are they doing it? So as I think Ben just orchestrated this, but it's very specific to the scenario that Box is talking about, this is precisely, you know, the most common architecture for taking advantage of all this, all wrapped up. We have the media services capabilities. Our customers are building, and partners and developers are building Azure Functions that call whatever they need. They're tying it to other parts of the Azure ecosystem, whether it's Notification Hub or Cosmos DB for storing their video, or using Power BI to visualize their data. Whatever your particular scenario happens to be, and then they're tying it all together with the orchestration known as Logic Apps. And of course, our media customers do this all the time. So, you know, I've got customers that build very simple to very complex logic apps. This is an example. I know it's hard to read, but this is one that basically says, every time I upload a video into my blob storage account, I want you to encode it. I want you to index it. I want you to translate it into three different languages. I want you to republish it into videos with all these subtitles. I want you to send me a text. I want you to send me an email. I want you to tell a million people who registered that there's a new piece of video about that, and do all this stuff, right? So, you know, that would be quite a daunting task to construct that, because I'd have to learn the SDKs, I have to connect all these things, Logic Apps sort of washes all that away and now allows you to do these things in order and then deploy it at scale. So, you know, the ability for me just to set it and forget it, depending on how much usage my system needs to generate, that's precisely the simplicity that we're doing. And we have already built for you a whole lot of Azure functions that you can just take from GitHub at this ACA link, which is AMS functions. So if you'd like to use these functions, you can. John showed you the repos that he's got for some of the other capabilities as the API. So we've got a lot of code that's already been written for you to automate the deployment of these media scenarios. So what are some of the most common media scenarios? Well, I've kind of alluded to them. Ben covered, I think, some of the most common ones. But I'll just share a couple with you that I'm working with customers. One customer is in the news business and says, you know, I'd love to create a personalized news service. You know, the idea that I am too busy to watch the news, so only send me notifications or links to watch videos of stories that I pre-registered by topic. Well, unless you had an army of people that was going through every video that said, well, this video had this in it, and this video had this person in it, and this video was about this, you know, that would be very hard to do. Well, not any longer, because what they've done is they've constructed a Logic App that basically says, I upload a video into a system, it goes and sends it to Azure, it indexes it and puts it up, and then it scans through the topics, the keywords, or the objects, or the faces, and user A, who registered to be notified when there's a story about volleyball, user B wanted business, user C wanted swimming, or whatever, they can create a true personalized service for their consumers who want to be watch content that's specific to a particular topic, or a person, or an actor, or whatever that happens to be. So these are the way they're doing it, and of course they're integrating all the capabilities that we have within Azure and Media Services. Similarly, I have customers that, as I mentioned earlier, are running these websites where they're having their users upload a lot of user-generated content. They're looking for a way to automate the policy of whether that content should be published or it should be flagged for review. So using the content moderator services, instead, what they're doing is now that content gets scanned by our content moderator services. It checks it for certain metrics. Maybe it's certain words. Maybe it's certain images. Maybe it's whatever their business rules are. And that's obviously different in every country around the world. So everybody defines what their particular standard is. And then if it passes muster, then it gets published. Or it gets sent into somebody's inbox for publish. If it doesn't, if it gets flagged, then somebody else looks at it. But the act of doing the analysis can be automated and save quite a lot of time. I have another customer that does a lot of this with syndication. They create versions of all of their video and audio files depending on, maybe I'm sending it to websites, maybe I'm sending it to people to distribute, maybe I'm creating a Spanish language for this region of the world, an Arabic language for this region of the world. I need to turn my one-person production house into the capability of 100 people. Can I use this process to really add that kind of scalability? Precisely what we can do with this stuff just by combining the events, the translation services, the transcription services, the re-encoding process, and the publishing process all together so that you can move content around the world as you need it. One of the most commonly used things, as I said, is working with customers that just say, hey, I need just transcripts. I need subtitles to be created. Can you help me with that? And so, you know, every time I upload a video file, create a subtitle for it and possibly translate it into 50 languages while you're doing that as well. Very, very common thing we do with these events all the time. If you're hosting events, you probably have to put your content up on a website and you don't have the kind of manpower to transcribe and translate all of your content. This is one way of doing that in an automated way. Many of you have used consumer video services where it's like, if you like this video, you'd like these videos, kind of recommendation services. Why not apply that in better ways? It's not just enough that I've watched, you know, a lot of sci-fi or romantic comedies, you know, the way we do genres. Maybe I'm interested in happy movies. Maybe I'm interested in movies that have the word Terminator in it. Maybe I'm looking for, you know, movies that have a preponderance of the color red. Whatever your sort of, you know, need is, how can you combine these analysis, video analysis capabilities with the cloud capabilities that we offer, you build a better, smarter, deeper, and what I'll call as objectively subjective recommendation engines that really take advantage of the best in AI that we have. And so I've got customers who are doing this, you know, to build things like this. You know, better
user experiences that are maybe based on a key metric like an actor or a word, but they're trying to have the system build it for them as opposed to a human building a Matt Damon website and a Julia Roberts website and a CEO of my company website, right? Have the system build those things automatically based on the auto categorization of this based on the data that we create. So these are probably the most common sort of scenarios, and all of these things are just simply logic apps, calling functions, building a set of logic and data, and then performing tasks that the cloud can do on your behalf. And the power, of course, of logic apps is you don't have to learn a lot of different SDKs because they're all sort of integrated via the Swagger code. So with that, I'm going to invite my colleagues to come back up on the screen. On stage. Yes, back to the silver screen.
Back to the screen. Oh, thank
and,
you.
And, you know, what we would love to you guys to take out of this session, we hope. First of all, of course, you know, we are around, and although the expo is coming to a natural end, everyone's going to happy hour, right?
It's happy hour time.
But we are always happy to take questions.
Stick around and ask questions, though. We'd like questions.
That's one thing. Obviously, all of the samples that John has made, and the deck will be available and it's posted, and all the websites and the GitHub repositories that we have are available to everybody to
use. So hopefully everything you've seen here kind of gives you that vision of what you can do to build your own custom apps using Azure Media Services, these event grid notifications that you're now getting, the ability to plug in logic apps, the ability to use the new video indexer APIs. Combining that all together, you can build some really cool applications for media using Azure. So if you guys have specific questions, I know I didn't cover live. Some people have questions specifically around live. You can follow up with me afterwards. We'll probably be doing more sessions like this as well to cover some of the new features in V3 as we go forward. Another place you can reach me is obviously reach me on Twitter, johndeu, at johndeu. You can also reach me on the MSDN forums or Stack Overflow. I hang out there quite a bit as well. So.
Yeah. So are there any questions that you like to ask? We have microphones set up, or I guess... We have one microphone set up. And feel free to ask John or I or Ben if you want to come back up. You can ask any of us. Sir.
Yeah, so based off of the kind of the last couple of demos you were doing, we want to record all of our meetings with Skype. We want everybody to record them. Can you walk through potentially a way without writing a lot of code? We could record those, have those dump up somewhere, have them indexed, and then take the results that you've got from your indexer and make that available in SharePoint or somewhere through their portal.office.com or something like that where they have access to that information.
So Skype meeting recording. So Skype meeting recording, the capability there, there's going to be some new features announced around Microsoft Stream in order to be able to do this. We can show you some demonstrations of that as well as far as what we're able to do with Microsoft Stream. I don't know if we didn't talk about that here, but this platform, the Azure Media Services platform, is the underlying platform for Microsoft Stream, which is the enterprise video solution. You can also record your Skype meeting to an MP4 file. You're probably familiar with doing that today. So
we're uploading.
You are doing it in Stream now. So we're working on making that simpler. So that's going to come. Yeah.
And Stream, being constructed by the same team, is gaining the ability to do a lot of these analysis capabilities, like the transcription, like the word search, like the face detection. So you'll see that added to Stream as well. And that will enhance the ability to find the content that are in your Skype recordings. The question is, are there widgets and integration more into SharePoint? And that's part of what the Stream roadmap is integrating to the other Microsoft products such as Teams and Yammer and LinkedIn and Office. So if you have any additional questions about where that's going, we're happy to answer.
Yeah,
please.
Sorry, do you happen to be a Box user by any chance? Are you a Box user by any chance? If you were, you could easily, in the same way said you were uploading through Stream, you could upload it to Box and you'd have all these for automatically done.
Box, yep. You could take the MP4 file and put it up on Box as well.
Yeah. Any other questions that we can help you with? Well, you guys are absolute troopers for being here towards
Thank
the
you for
very,
staying
very,
to the
end,
very end
to stay
end
for
of
media.
Build, yes.
But you know,
we saved the best for last. So we hope you've had a really, really good Build conference. We'll stick around for a little bit, ask us any questions you like. But thank you all very much, and go out and try all this stuff and get to work. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. Everybody. Thank you.